Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Good evening to each and every one. Again, this is Apostle William Miller. So glad that you tuned in, and I just thank and praise the Lord for this beautiful day. Thank God for this glorious and victorious week. We experienced some storms here, some powers out it, but nevertheless, I thank and praise the Lord. It was no damage to the roof of my house. We talk more about the kingdom in the Lord Prayer when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. In the prayer, he said that, pray that my kingdom come and my will be done. And God's kingdom have come through Jesus Christ. Jesus made it possible, for us that even in a fallen world, we can experience victory. We've been talking about the kingdom of God and how in Matthew, the 11th chapter, the 12th verse, it talked about how that the kingdom, let me read it, make sure I'm reading it right. But I trust you've been having a glorious week like I have, and God been good. I thank God for the rain because my plants needed, the earth needed, so I thank God for the rain. But I pray if anybody experienced any damage from the storm or either from the hurricane that the Lord would make it possible for them to get it fixed or whatever. But, you know, as born-again believers, when God began to talk to me years and years ago about the already, I had to go in his word and find out what he mean the already. And at that time, as a born-again Christian, I had been living for the Lord a while, but I was ignorant of who I was in Christ and what Christ had did for me. And I'm finding out, and we're going to be talking about this in Matthew, the 7th chapter, but I want to go back to my foundation scripture because we've been working on this a lot. Even in the time that we're living in now, God wants us to know that he see and know what's happening on this earth. But through the coming, better yet, through the redemption work of Christ, he made it possible that we can live a victorious life. I know if you ignorant of Satan's device and if you don't have the knowledge, you ignorant of what God's word say about you or what Jesus came to do, it's like, what in the world is she talking about when I'm experiencing this, I'm dealing with this? And that's the way I was. Before I came into the knowledge and the revelation about the already, and the already really is just saying that everything that we need to be victorious on this earth, God done already done it for us. God done did something with Satan. Satan, our enemy, who is the adversary. Peter said he the adversary. Jesus called him Satan. But he tell us that he is already defeated. Now, I know the way, this old folk, you say the way the smoke he put up, or better yet, fire, it would make you think that God haven't took care of the enemy. But that's only because you haven't got in the Bible and read it. I found out the Bible is a manual for my life and for your life as well. In John 10:10, it said, "A thief come but to steal, kill, and destroy. And Satan want to destroy everything. He want to steal from us. He want to destroy. He want to kill us. That's what the Bible say. But the Bible also tell us, as born-again believers, as sons of God, we have the victory. And I'm so glad that Jesus came. When Jesus came on this earth, Jesus took back everything. The Bible called Jesus the second Adam. Jesus took back everything the first Adam lost. Adam didn't lose a religion. He lost a kingdom. He lost dominion. He lost a relationship as well with God. And that's the thing about it. I found out that Christianity is just more than going to church on Sunday, fellowship. And I thought being a Christian was, you got to go to church on Sunday, every Sunday, every Bible study, and it was a bunch of rules and regulations. But when I accept Jesus, my Lord and Savior, and begin to do Matthew 6:33, I begin to find out that God wanted a relationship with me, or better yet, with humanity. And that always been the plan of God. God as our Heavenly Father. That's why Jesus started out with the Lord Prayer, our Father who art in heaven. God always wanted a relationship with us. And we lost that. God is a spirit, and we have to worship in spirit and truth. And I'm a spirit. And God always wanted a relationship with us. And I found that in a relationship, it has to be developed. You have to commune with one another. Better yet, you have to communicate with one another. And I find that so many times, if you look at Christianity from the way the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the way they thought about it, you know, it was a bunch of do's and don'ts. I started off like that too, with a bunch of do's and don'ts. But I found out, as the old saying say, to know him is to love him and to obey him. And I thank and praise the Lord for the late Bishop Bourne and the late Apostle Ida Bell Parker, the late Martha Jean, Mother Maxwell. These was my mentors, the late Joseph Thompson. These people was my mentor, and they taught me, they not only taught me about the relationship with God, but they taught me the seriousness of it, you know. So there too, again, you know, now you can compare your relationship with God compared to a husband and wife, a parent and their child. You like to commune with them. You talk to them. You find out their likes and their dislikes. And I think a lot of times what causing a lot of saints to be defeated is because, first of all, they got the wrong concepts about God. They got the wrong concepts about God's responsibility to them and their responsibility to God. In St. Matthew, the 11th chapter, and I go back to that in that 12th verse. That's the scripture we've been really ministering on for the last couple of days. And it said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffer violence, and the violent take it by force. Take it by force. And as we begin to share some things about the kingdom, you know, and I got another scripture in Romans, the 14th chapter, in the 17th verse. As I stated, I want you to see these verses because we are in the kingdom of God. Now, you got the animal kingdom, the vegetable kingdom, but the kingdom that's more affected on the earth is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan. And we need to know how to operate on a fallen world, you know. And when they start talking to me about this thing, faith, I didn't bit more understand how to operate in faith. I didn't even know what faith was. But as I continued my walk, that's why with God, it's a continued walk. Jesus told the disciples in John, he said, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And there too, again, you have to continue. You have to be consistent in the things of God in order to experience the victory that Jesus won. This, it don't happen automatically. I said it so many times. You know, I had to learn, as he told his disciples, if you got faith that's a grain of mustard seed, you can speak to the mountain. Well, that when he talk about mountain, he talking about the circumstances in life. The things that you're dealing with, situation, or what you can, even like sickness and disease and all that, you can speak to it, find it, you can speak to it, you know. And at first it was like, what in the world? You know, I wasn't taught that way in church when I started church. But it was only when I got into the Pentecostal with the late Bishop Bourne and the late Ida Bell Parker, that's when I begin, my spiritual eyes begin to come open, because they begin to teach me that Christianity was all about having a relationship with God. It was more than just getting saved and so I can escape hell. You know, when I stop, well, I always know in the former churches about heaven and hell, you know. Well, I didn't want to go to hell, But then you got to know, once you get born again, you got to know how to occupy on this earth until either Jesus come or you leave here. Because the Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And as I stated, D, you have to grow into it. You know, it don't happen overnight, but you have your part to play. In Romans 14 and 17, I'm reading from the King James. It said, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, listen, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And see, there too again, we need to know what the kingdom is all about. Now, you know, I thank God for some of the books that I read on the kingdom. I thank God for the late Miles Monroe, and he did an awesome teaching on the kingdom, the kingdom principles, rediscovering the kingdom. I thank God for Apostle John Eckhart, and it's other people that got books on the kingdom, you know. So I'm still learning things, you know. You don't learn everything overnight, but you have to continue to grow in these things. But you got to do what Matthew 6 and 33 say. You got to get in there and seek out these things. You got to seek it out. I look at certain ministry that I know is still going strong, and I thank and praise the Lord. You know, like Kenny Copeland, and we've been partnering with him for numbers and numbers and numbers of years. And then I look at Jerry Savea. Just some of these people, Keith Moore, you know, you got some, even the late Fred Pryor, how they just, the assignment that God gave them, how they was continuing and they was consistent in preaching on that. Some, they didn't allow themselves to get with new teaching, anything that were going to take them away from what was written. And that really helped minister to me. And that's why I said, when we start talking about the kingdom, and that's what we're going to talk about, the kingdom of God. And I'm telling you, as he said, I might need to, let me read that from the Living Bible. Where is my Living Bible? I'm going to read it from that. Because there too again, God wants you and I to be victorious. I want you to hear me. God wants you and I to be victorious while we on this earth. But you is not going to be able to walk in the victory that he came and what Jesus paid for if you don't get in that word and seek that word out. Amen. You're not going to do it. It's not going to ordinarily happen. Hear me. And Matthew 11 and 12, this the rate, it read it in the Living. It's in, from the time John the Baptist began to preaching and baptizing unto now, the kingdom of heaven have been forcefully advancing. And the kingdom of heaven is advancing, but it's only to the ones that have tuned in or given themselves over to the word of God. Oh, let me pray. A lot of time I come on and I just get in it because I already be keyed up. Father, I just want to say thank you. I praise you for another day. I thank you, Father, for this opportunity. I thank you, Father, for the technology you done made it possible through mankind that we can minister to thousands and thousands of people over the airways. I thank you. I praise you for it. I pray, Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I welcome the Holy Spirit, which is our teacher. I thank you that he will bring enlightenment and understanding to the view. I thank you. We are covered with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, as I stated, we still talking about the kingdom, but he was saying, I'm reading from, like I said, from the Living Bible. It's from the time John the Baptist began to preach it and baptize unto now, the kingdom of heaven have been forcefully advancing and violent people attacking it. In other words, what it was saying, even though we got opposition, and that's it, from day one, when the enemy got the news that Jesus was coming on earth, he went to extreme measures to try to intercept and stop it. Well, that's symbolic to believe it or not. Once you come to be a born again believer, the enemy gonna go to extreme measures to try to intercept what God want to do in your life and mine. Cause see, the devil even though God is a spirit, but before God can be affected on the earth, he need a body. A spirit just can't show up and be effective on this earth without a body. And so that's the way it has to work. That's why God can just come down on the earth, and even though what Adam had loose, but he had to come in a body. So what he did, well, he put Jesus in the womb of Mary, you know. But there too, again, even before he did that, remember the angel told Mary what God wanted to do, and Mary gave the angel permission. She said, be it done unto me according to your word. There too, again, that signifies that God is not going to dominate, override our will. We have to yield our will over to him. And so many saints is mumming and complaining, I've been there, I did it. Our mommy complained for a long time, and sometime now, I want you to hear me, sometime now, I'm tempted to mommy complain about things too. But I found out as a son of God, as a born-again believer, I have the authority, I have the name of Jesus, I have the word of God, and I have the blood of Jesus. These are powerful weapons against the enemy of my soul. But as Paul told the church in Ephesus, you've got to renew your mind. I want you to hear me. You have to renew your mind daily. You got to keep it renewed in the word of God. You know, some people, I worked at this company, in one company for like 19 years and the other one 17 years and then one 7 years. But I found out the way I was able to stay on that job or hold that job, I was consistent. I would get up every morning and I would clock in. I had to clock in. And I had to be, hey, it was a certain time I had to be there. I had to make sure I got up at the right time, gave myself time to get dressed and everything in order so I could, and then get in my automobile and drive there. I had to make sure I had enough time to get up, get dressed, get on the highway, and get to that, to my destiny at the appointed time if I want to keep that job. And I'm finding out we have some lazy Christians. We, you know, we don't like to know about the sin, but I'm telling you the truth. I found out because we have an enemy, he is not going to allow us, if he can help it, to receive or walk in the things that Jesus paid for, the redemption work. And we were talking about Luke, but I stopped there on Monday. But I want to pick up, and like I said, we're going back to some of my notes. I'm reading some notes now, and it was saying, It's totally impossible to win a war fighting a defense battle. To defeat Satan, we need an offensive strategy. The reason we haven't progressed in defeating the enemy is that when the enemy comes, we put up our hand and try to defend ourselves. But offensive warfare is aggressive, and being aggressive calls for each of us to develop an attitude of action, an attitude of boldness, a forward movement. Jesus put it very clearly when he said that the violent take the kingdom of heaven by force. Now, you know, I give you a definition according to Strong Concordance. It tells us violent means to seize or take hold forcefully. And see, there too again, you and I have our part to play. As I stated so many times, I believe that the Bible, to me, is a manual for life on the earth. The Bible revealed God to me. It revealed my enemy to me. It revealed me to me. It revealed what God required for me. It revealed to me what I must do in order to defeat my enemy. Peter said that we need to be sober and vigilant because our adversary goes about as the roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Seeking. And the reason why the enemy is seeking who he may devour, because he knows somebody know or have a knowledge and an understanding and a revelation who he are and who they are versus him. We was in Matthew 12 for a while back here, and Jesus was talking about how this demon got in this young man. And when Jesus cast them out, they got upset, and they were saying that he cast them out with the authority of the power of the devil. Well, Jesus was called it this way, and he said, how can one enter a strong man's house except he first bind the strong man? And the only way he can take his fall, he got to be stronger than the person that have days for. So Jesus was letting them know right there when they were trying to give the credit to the devil. He was saying the devil can't, if the devil casting out the devil by the devil, well, he divide his kingdom, and it don't work that way. Well, if Jesus did that for me and you, and you and I have to realize that, and there too again, that blessed me, because like I said, it goes to show us how we, as born again believing, like I said, in Matthew 12, when Jesus delivered the blind and cast that blind and dumb spirit out of the one that was possessed with it, he was letting them know that the devil did it, but I'm stronger than him. I have authority over him, so I could go in there and bind him and deliver that person that is in bondage. And guess what? That is somebody to you and I. Don't you know? As a born-again believers, and I love reading the four gospels. When I read the four gospels and I see what Jesus did when he came on this earth, y'all, it excites me because the reality is he did it for me. It takes me back to Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, read the first six verses, and you'll see it tell you what Jesus did and what he came to do. And Jesus was victorious in what he did. But there, too, again, and like I said, tradition, we have been preoccupied with teaching. We've been, you know, a lot of times we tell ourselves how to be protected from Satan. But then, too, you need to know how to fight him. And we're living in a time, like I said, you see all of this murdering and killing going on. A lot of people dealing with a lot of sickness, a lot of disease, a lot of people dealing with fear. They dealing with stress and depression, oppression. That is not the will of God. I want you to hear me. That's not the will of God. But listen, and I learned this. God ain't going to make you read the Bible. God ain't going to, as I say all the time, God is not going to override your will. You got your part to play. You and I, it's not going to just automatically happen. Yes, when Jesus took his last breath, he said, it is finished. What he meant when he said it was finished, all the tubes that the enemy had over mankind, Jesus had took it. He broke the power. He got the victory for you and I. But guess what? You and I have to walk it out. Now, while we're in this, we're going to go to another scripture I want to show you. And then I'm going to go somewhere else. We're going to go to Matthew, the 16th chapter. I think that's what I want. I'm going to go to Matthew, the 16th chapter. And hallelujah, Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah, we give you praise. And I want to show you where when Jesus asked the question, who do men say that I am? Yes, I'm in the right chapter. See, a lot of times these verses come up. I don't even have them down. And the Lord will bring them to me. I don't know, you know what I mean, but the Lord do that sometimes. I don't even have them down. And he'll just bring them to my mind and for us to share, you know. Is this the one I want? Let me go. Because I want you to see this because this is so important. This is so important that we need to know. We need to know that the enemy is our problem. And Jesus said when they asked the question, who do men say that I am? And Peter rose up and said, thou art the Christ. Remember, Peter said, the other one couldn't tell him, but it had been revealed to Peter who Jesus was. And there too again, you and I, like I said, we have to come into the knowledge to know who Christ is, what he did for us. And I'm telling you, this is important. You know, I like to go to church and get emotion and all that good stuff. But let me tell you, as them old folks said, when them chips fall, you better know from day one what God is saying. Amen. And I'm telling you, this is so important. It is so important when the chips fall. When the dust settles or when your emotions settle, you need to know how to fight the enemy. Are you hear what I'm saying? Because he out to destroy you, me, and everybody else. Now, you need to know that the enemy is out to defeat you, me, and everybody else. He out to defeat us. Now, a lot of times people don't want to talk about it, but the devil is out to beat all of us. But guess what? I thank and praise the Lord that he can't do it unless if I'm walking in ignorance. Guess what? Yeah, he can take advantage of me if I'm walking in ignorance. Now, what I'm going to do for time's sake. But like I said, Jesus said when he asked the question of who men I am, and they said that he was all of them said maybe he was Elijah, maybe one of the Jeremiah the prophet, but Peter said that thou art the Christ. And Jesus complimented him because he said flesh and blood then revealed this to you. And he began to tell him, upon this rock, listen, he said, upon this rock I will build my church in the gates of hell. Listen at me good. And he said, the gates of hell shall not what? The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You hear what I'm saying? He said that, you know. It's in Matthew 16 and starting at that, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Starting at that 17th verse, it said, Jesus answered and said unto him, Peter, are thou Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When he was talking about a revelation. When you and I come into the knowledge and the understanding and the revelation, who is Christ? What did he come to do? What did he accomplish? When we get a knowledge, an understanding, and the reality of that come to us through by the way of the Holy Spirit, do you not know you and I is a threat to the devil? Hear me good. Now, let's go to Matthew 7. I want to show you something else. Y'all, this is so important because, like I said, I listen at people, and thank God, God is so merciful. But I listen at people, and when I hear people allowing themselves, and that go for me. I don't know about you all, but when I read the Bible and I don't see what is written being manifest in my life, before I got saved, well, right after I got saved, I had a lot of questions to God, and I couldn't understand that you is God, and my mind said you could do anything but fail. Well, I found out since you could, to me first, to me, when I, you know, you God can do this and God can do that. But in my life, I wasn't seeing or experiencing God do nothing. Seemed like I was always struggling with money, struggling in relationship, struggling with my peace, my joy. And I couldn't understand. You talking about God, why was he doing it for me? Well, guess what? It was on me because, first of all, Before I got saved, I was a daughter of the devil. And according to Ephesians, the second chapter, I was yielding to the spirit of disobedience. And the Bible tell you, if you're not born again, well, you operate in the spirit of disobedience. And that mean, and Jesus even told me, John, he said, your father is the devil, and you'll do what he say do. And this is why a lot of times people say, well, Prophet Miller, I'm just new to. No, you either in the kingdom of God or you're in the kingdom of God. You either belong to God or you belong to Satan. It ain't no such thing as no neutral. People don't like for you to say that. See, we're living in a time that people that being influenced by the devil has been trying to discredit God ever since day one. But guess what? Satan is defeated in Jesus is Lord. But listen, you ain't no match for the enemy if you ain't been born again and you don't know who you are. You don't know how to use your weapons. That's why the Bible said we need to study, show ourselves approval. And you got to get in this word and find out what the words say. Okay? Now, this is the scripture that I was willing, working towards in Matthew the seventh chapter, and I'm going to start at that 24th verse for time's sake. It said, therefore, whoever heareth, that word heareth me more than one time, these saying of mine, and doeth them, listen, I will liken him unto a wise man who would build his house upon a rock. Now, he didn't say, I build your house. See, a lot of people don't understand, a lot of times don't understand. God don't mean for you to go to service after service and leave them service and go back home and don't seek them out, meditate on them, and practice them words. He meant for you to go home, meditate on the word, go in your Bible and do some research, then be a doer of the word. He don't mean for you to go, oh, yeah, I'm with the service. Oh, honey, we had a nice time. Oh, we got emotional. We shouted. We danced. We did all of that. That ain't, you don't go to church just to do. You go so you can be equipped. You need to be equipped. And the Bible tells where we equipped it with the fivefold ministry, the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, the pastor, and teacher. Them gifts is to perfect and equip us for daily life, just like faith. Some people say that faith moving people. Faith ain't a movement. Faith is a lifestyle. See, there too again. I found out if you think wrong, you'll do wrong. You'll talk wrong too. So there too again, the things, the Bible is a manual for your life and my life. The Bible even tell us, Paul was telling Timothy what was going to take place in these last days that we living in. It's a lot of things happening now. It's a lot of chaos going on. The enemy been trying to start a race war ever since I was a kid. I have watched it. The black against the white against the black. All people, the enemy been doing that ever since I was a child. And it looked like now since I'm aging and stuff, I'm finding out it done got worse. The enemy always trying to stir up something. He always trying to do it. He always trying to bring division, strife, and hatred among mankind. And some have not got into that knowledge to know that. I don't have a problem with history, but according to Galatians, in God's eyes, it's nor male or female. You know, it's okay to know history, but don't let history cause you to get bitter and resentment in your heart. Because a lot of times, some people, when they learn things, they don't know what to do with what they hear. You know, my daddy was a racist. Yes, he was. But my daddy wasn't saved. You know, I didn't experience and see what my dad saw. But I thank God now. Now, don't get me wrong, because of the way my dad raised me, I hated my dad. And I did not know that I was influenced by the enemy. You know, it's not God's will for none of us to live like that. Because there, too, again, once you come into the knowledge and understand that Satan is a spirit, just like God is a spirit, and just like God can influence us, the devil can influence us as well. And once you get in the Bible, you learn how to discern what voice speaking to you. I found out God speak to me, Satan speak to me, and Ann speak to me. I learned that. I had to learn that. Because like I said, when I first got saved, I had a problem with God. I couldn't understand how you allow all this stuff to be happening on this earth, and you say you God. Because in this mindset of mine, I didn't know anything about that whosoever will let him come. I didn't know anything about God saying steady to show yourself approved. I didn't know anything about that God is not going to override my will. I just thought, just leave it up to God, and he'll just fix this. But it don't work that way. It don't work that way. And then I had to find out how faith works. And please hear me. I haven't accomplished everything. I don't understand everything. But I promise you, I'm doing better than what I did a couple of years ago. And like I stated, I know that this don't happen overnight. But I want to read that again. Look at it. I'm reading from the King James. It said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I would liken him unto a wise man. Listen. Which build his house upon a rock. A wise man. You hear what I'm saying? He's telling you what to do. And that's why I said, if you keep hearing the word of God and you not meditating on that word or you not putting that word in prayer, listen, you ain't going to defeat no devil. even though the victory been won, even though you're overcomer, and even the Lord said it through Apostle John, he said, who is it that overcome the world? It's our faith. Well, what's your faith in? What is faith? Faith is having confidence in what God say about us and everything else, what he said in his word about us. Faith. And then, but you, if you're not operating in love, hear me good, it's so easy now to hate. It's so easy to get in offenses. And the Bible tells us in Matthew, it's me that offenses come, but woe who it come through. And we living in that hour in time. Faith calls us having confidence in what God's word say, in believing and trusting and doing that word. It calls us to overcome. It'll cause us to overcome. Because once we believe and really put into practice and say what God say, one of the definition of grace, it release the ability. God enable us to do what we need to do, because we can't do it in our own strength, if you didn't know that. Okay, in Matthew 7:24, I'm going to read that same verse from the Living Translation. It says, anyone who listened to my teaching and obeyed me is wise. Now, see, when you go in Proverbs, and so, it talk about a wise person. You know, a wise person is somebody that they got information, and they use that information to their advance. They, you know, the Bible said the mother to the counsel is safety. Well, a wise person is going to give you godly wisdom. Now, I know some people is not saved and they still wise in certain things like finance and all of that. But if you're a wise person in the Lord, you can recognize when information is coming to you that can be, could advance you, can be a blessing to you and your family. But when it comes down to the word of God, you know, you need to know what to do with what you hear. God don't just give you that information to stand up in the church and shout and dance and say, praise God, hallelujah for the word. And then once you leave the church, you forget about everything you done hear. I don't know about you, but I learned. It ain't a time that I went to service and the minister didn't speak. Because when I get there, I'm expecting to receive a word from the Lord. Well, I didn't start out like that, you know. But once I got saved, I started seeing every time I would go to church that God would say something through his man or woman of God, and what they said, it would relate to me in my life. Somewhere it would relate to me. And I start, and every time it would happen like that. And I begin to say, dog, did they talk? Couldn't nobody tell them, because in some things I didn't share with people about my personal life, but I found out God was always speaking to me. And so then I start developing expectation when I go, or when I done prayed about something. I found out even when I would pray about something, I get in there in Bible study, a Sunday service, and somewhere in his message or her message, in Bible, they would answer my question. And then I begin to find out that's God talking to me. Why are you saying that? Because listen. You don't listen. If you been defeated, if you allow yourself to walk around being depressed and all, and you're a born-again believer, don't shut me out. Don't turn me off. But listen, you're doing it to yourself. You not doing your part. Just like on that job. Spiritual thing is parallel to natural thing. Just like on your job, as I stated in the beginning, if you got a job, say you have to be on your job at 8 o'clock, you got to get up. It's your responsibility to get up and know the distance that you got to go. It's your responsibility to get up and give yourself enough time to dress and get on the highway and be there at the appointed time. Well, in the spirit realm, y'all, when it comes down to we in God, as I say, you have to develop a relationship, you have your part to play. I learned that. That my Bible is not going to flow from one room of where my Bible normally be at and float in my hand. The thought might come to me, you need to be reading. You know what I'm saying? I had to learn that. Like I said, I didn't get here overnight, and I still have a little pace to go. Anyone who listened to my teaching and obeyed me is wise, like a person who built a house on a solid rock. Through the rain come, and the torrent and the flood flooded waters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse. Now, when he's talking about the term, he's talking about you in this particular, you represent that house. He's talking about the storms of life. He's talking about adversity. He's talking about pressure. He's talking about trouble. All of that, he's talking about that. But he's talking about a person that really hears his word and put it into practice like somebody is building a house. But they're building it on a rock. A rock is steady. It is steady. A rock ain't easily moved. A lot of times, you know, when it rained and we just had some storms lately in the last couple of days here where I live at, and I would go out and in the ground, I see certain rocks, and I see sometimes the water will wash around it. And a lot of times the ones that really, you know, real heavy, it go around there. But them real, real small ones, and some of them sometimes it washed them away, and some of them it don't. But that's the thing about a rock. But what he was saying to us in Matthew 18, remember we were talking, he said, upon this rock I will build my church. And he would talk about the revelation. Once you and I get a knowledge and an understanding of the revelation, of the reality of what Christ came to do and what he accomplished, and what he gave us as born-again believers, you know. And like I said, I don't know about you, but I be speaking to everything. Now, I'm still developing my faith when it come down to speaking to the moles in my yard. Now, some of you might laugh at me. Go on and laugh. You might think it's funny. But you got to develop your faith in that area. He said, speak to it, and it'll obey you. Now, some people like, child, I won't be doing it. Yeah, when you first start doing what the Bible says, or better yet, apply what the word say to you, to your situation, guess what? You feel foolish. It don't only sound foolish, but you feel like it. What in the world wrong with you? But I found out when I take these laws and principles of God, a God word, and I put it into practice, and if I'm steadfast with it, if I'm consistent with it, I'm going to get the result that the Bible says. Just like Mark 11, when he tell whatsoever thing you desire, whenever you pray, believe. Well, some of you pray, but you don't believe what you done prayed. You don't trust. You don't believe it's going to happen. Why? Most of the time, because you don't have enough word in you. And then sometimes you can have enough word in you, but then you don't trust and believe what you're reading. Even with that, sometimes the Lord will tell me, and do you really believe? Is you really trusting what I say? And you prayed about it. Did you really believe what you prayed? Were you expecting to get results from? And sometimes I have to admit, no, God, I didn't. You're right, Father. I wasn't believing. I was just saying a bunch of words. And then sometimes I had to admit, Lord, you know, my eyes were more on the on the problem than it was on what your words say about the problem. Y'all see, that's why the Bible said we have to judge our own self. We have to examine ourselves a lot of times. Because I'm telling you, if you're not receiving what is written about you, what God said, it's not God's fault. And really, it's not the devil's fault. Because guess what? He had defeated foe. He wants you to believe. That's why Peter said he'd go about asking more and not seeking. He wants you to read this word, but he wants you to doubt it. He don't want you to put it into practice so he can have something else to discredit God about to you and I. Yeah, God said it, but why he ain't doing it? Yeah, God said it, but he doing it for selling Jews. Yeah, God said this, he doing it for his neighbor, he ain't doing it for you. Yeah, God said this, but he doing it for apostles. He doing it for the prophet, but he ain't going to do it for you. See, all of those are lies. Them lies. And if you don't know what God said about you, you can't fight the enemy. And like I was saying, yeah, I speak to everything now. I learned that I can speak to, I start speaking. And you can say what you want to say. I'm getting the Bible. I'm getting the results of the Bible. Now, sometimes I might miss, but I say, guess what now? And I go back and I say, wait a minute, Ann. Wait a minute now, girl. The problem ain't God. The problem you. Now, wait a minute. I done missed them somewhere here. Because the Bible say heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word won't. Isaiah said, God said the words that go out of my mouth, they would not return unto me void, but they shall accomplish where I sent it. The Bible tells us it's impossible for God to lie. See, when you start, when you get words like that, you can say, wait a minute now. God said, he'll supply all of my needs. Now, if it didn't have, what did God tell me that I ain't doing? Then he telling us a wise man. I was listening to one of, you know, I thank God for Pastor Jerry Sevier. Jerry Sevier was on the Southwest Conference. And he ministered, he said something that really stood out, and I've really been meditating on it for about 3 weeks now, maybe longer than that. But he was talking about at Jesus' first miracle, you know, he turned the water into wine. That was his first miracle. And he would come out when Mary told him, so whatever he tell you to do, do it. And you know what? If you struggling today with anything, guess what? You ain't doing what God told you to do. Okay, go on, get offended with me. I'm gonna take it. But y'all listen. Jesus, one of the first things Jesus told them disciples, if you're going to follow after me, you got to deny yourself. And self do not like to be denied. And I mean, you know, I can't tell you how long, I can't really tell you how to live your life. I'm giving you the laws and principles of God. You know, they'll help you if you follow through with them. But I'm telling you, you got to make and find time to get in God's word to read. Now, some people read the Bible, but they don't put it into practice. They double-mind. They'll say, well, yeah, I read my Bible, but are you putting it into practice? When the enemy trying to make you, when the enemy trying to get you to be angry, or when it's time for when jealousy, your outward man want to be jealous, and you want to gossip and be bad, what do you put the word that's a no? Or when it's about your situation, whatever you're dealing with, and the enemy wants you to mom and complain. Do you ever say, you know, no, I'm not going to mom and complain. I'm going to do what Paul said. I'm going to cast down this imagination, this thought. It exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Or do you just give, well, you know what? I have a right. No, you don't. See, the Bible tells us in Galatians, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, that's what you reap. Everything we do is a seed. And seed have the ability to grow. And whether you want to believe it or not, that's a spiritual law, and it works every time. In the book of Genesis, in the beginning, God said, as long as the earth remains, it's going to be seed time and harvest time. Every seed produced after kind. Some people need more money, but instead of them sowing more money, they try to hold on to all that they got. They're waiting on that. Well, I can't sow this thing. You know, when I first started sowing, I started with $10 a month. I was sending Kenny Copeland. I was sending different ministry as the Lord led, because I didn't have a lot, but I sold something. You know, so, well, I got to wait till I get more money. No, if you sow what you got, as it increase, you can give more. See, that's the law of reciprocity. And see, there too, again, the Bible tell you this. The Bible tell you how Isaac sold in the time of famine. A lot of people say, I need more money. Well, sow more money. Give your tithe and then sow more money. Well, honey, I can't afford to know. Because, see, listen, unbelief ain't nothing but disobedient, y'all. Let's keep it simple. Let's stop making it so complicated. But I'm talking about a wise man. He took the word and he built. He took the word. He meditated on it. He spoke it. And then he applied it. And that he did that. Look what he said. It's as though the rain come torrent and the flood water rise and wind beat against that house. The house represents the man. It won't collapse because it is built on a rock. But everyone who hears my teaching and ignore it is foolish. Like a person who built a house on sand. But when the rain and the flood come and the wind beat against that house, it will fall with a mighty crash. Now, see, Jesus would tell them, see, you got to do something with what you hear. I can't do nothing with it. And just like some of you hearing this word today, what you going to do with it? The Bible tells us, it said the same measure and the attention you give to God, you're going to receive from that word. What you going to receive? You're going to receive understanding. You're going to receive, you're going to be enlightened. You're going to receive revelation. That's what's going to happen. But if you ain't giving much attention to God's word, You know, I was sharing with one of my spiritual daughters today about, you know, if the enemy attack your body with some kind of sickness, You need to have what the word, you need to have some word, you know. And God showed that to me. You ever not had a pain or something, and the first thing, and rightly divided, understand what I'm finna say, say you run to this appeal. Now listen, is it wrong to take medicine? No. Is it wrong to go to the doctor? No. Because God want you and I heal. God want that for all of us. But I found out, first thing first, a lot of times people have, I'm finna say this and please don't turn me off. A lot of people, if you ain't trained yourself and got your mind renewed with the word of God, you go put natural things first. It was a man, that's in the Bible. He had a problem, a disease. Instead of him running to God, he went the other way. And he died from it. Is you saying everybody died if they don't run to God? I ain't saying that. I'm talking about the Lord first. I'm not talking about, I'm sure you have, we need to make, just like in Matthew 6:33, if we don't make the word of God a priority, seeking out, it's in Matthew 6:33, it's to seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all of these things will be added. If we don't make the word of God a priority, just like some people pray, it's not a priority. Pray is only, that might be the third thing I try. After I done tried everything I want to try. It don't work that way. But I was telling my spiritual daughter, I said, they would tell me about something they experienced in their body. I said, did you use the word? And they were saying what they did first. I said, you need to put the word on it. And y'all, that's what I said. We need to make the word of God a priority. Anything that we truly believe and trust, you said what you want to say. We will do something about what I act according to what I believe. In the book of Corinthians, Apostle Paul was telling the Corinthians, he said, I believe, so I speak. Whatever we have faith and confidence in, that's what we operate by. You can tell it if two couples, if a man and a woman in love with one another, they'll find themselves talking about one another a lot. They want to be in the presence of one another. That's just the way it works in the natural. Where, what do we do in the spirit? And he was saying, like I said, he said that the second priest said, but anyone hears my teaching and ignore it is foolish. Like a person who be, why he says foolish if he ignore my word, my teaching? Because the word of God have the ability, the power to transform your life. It have the power to cause all heaven to work on your behalf. Remember in Matthew 18, he said, I give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth is already bound in heaven. One translation, so whatever you forbid on earth is already forbid in heaven. Whatever is unlawful in heaven is unlawful here. What he's saying, that God will come in agreement with you. You want God to work on your behalf, you got to come in agreement with what his words say. Well, if you don't know what the words say, well, guess what? You ain't going to get it. And I'm telling you something else, rebellious. We got a lot of saints there too. Again, you might not want to hear what I'm saying. A lot of saints, they walking in rebellious, and they expecting God. No, it don't work that way. And I'm telling you, if you struggling with anything today, I want you to know, since Jesus came, you don't have to keep struggling. But now, if you hear the word of God and you not meditating and you putting it into practice, I ain't talking about just speaking it. See, Jesus told them they're praising with their lips and their heart to be full from it. See, God judge our motives. You can look at me and say, okay, I love you. I like your message, Prophet Miller. But God looking at your heart, he know whether you received this word or not. But listen, your blood is not going to be on my hand, because let me tell you what God say. But I'm telling you, a lot of times, the word of God is not a priority. And a lot of spending time with God is not a priority. And y'all, I done been there before, you know, but some people say, well, I read. And listen, yes, you read the word, but whenever the enemy challenges or contests the will of God, which is the word of God, how do you respond? Do you cause your emotion to line up with the word? I don't know. I had to learn that. When somebody, I know somebody would line on me. My emotion, we get all out of it. Yeah, you wait. I tell you what, bring them in my presence. Bring them to me. Tell me who was. I go, and I mean, and as I meditate on that, I'll get angry. And the Lord began to show me. He said, a wrath for Anna work the righteous of God. He said, you got to do something with your emotion. I said, well, how do I do something with my emotion? And he said, listen. And the scripture gave me was, bless the Lord, all my soul and all that is within me. He said, you cannot bless me and stay angry. Or better yet, stay in a rage. He said, you can't bless me and stay in a rage. Now, the Bible says anger rests in the bosom of a fool. We don't like that. Too, yeah, I don't want to hear that. Well, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Well, how do I control my when it comes to tell yourself, now, look, God don't mind me getting angry. But if I'm acting a way unseemly, unpleasant, that ain't God. But I'm telling you, the Word of God has the ability to help you and I. That's why the Lord said what he said. Are you hearing me? The Word of God has the ability that causes us to overcome and conquer whatever the enemy is putting in our life. My thing is to let you know you are victorious today. But listen, don't be like that foolish man. Hear the Word of God and don't put it into practice. Or you don't build yourself up before trouble comes. Because y'all, I'm telling you, according to the Word of God, it's going to get worse. We got a lot of people operating in fear. They don't want to go out the house. Y'all, that ain't God. Instead of covering yourself, I said this on one other broadcast, parents, pray for your children. Sit down and read the Word. You read the Word. Find out what God says. So you can stand against the wiles of the devil. Again, this was Apostle Miller, and I know the Word been a blessing to you, because I'm telling you, if you don't get violent, you'll never experience the blessing of the victory that Jesus won. You got to get violent, but you can't get violent if you don't know your part to play. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to say thank you again for your Word. I thank you for the hearers today, and I thank you and I trust that the Holy Spirit will continue to bring enlightenment and understanding to those that tune into the broadcast. I come against the spirit of depression. I come against harassment, these voices that torment people. I bind it in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the sickness, the discomfort in people's body in the master's name of Jesus. I command it to go from their body in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I pray and trust that you will have a glorious weekend. And remember, listen, y'all, Satan is defeated and Jesus is Lord. Until the next time, this was Apostle Willie Ann Miller.